President Trump's nominee to serve as the next Attorney General, William Barr, plans to tell Congress today at his confirmation hearing that Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election should continue and that the public should be informed of the results of the probe. His two-day hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee begins today, and we're looking at the latest developments in the Russia probe here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're going to Bruce Gentleson for an update now. He's a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University's Sanford School of Public Policy. He was a former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the State Department between 2009 and 2011, and his latest book is called The Peacemakers: Leadership Lessons from 20th Century Statesmanship. Bruce, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks. Good to be with you again.
So William Barr, President Trump's nominee for Attorney General, has known and worked with Robert Mueller for 30 years. They worked together at Justice under President George Bush. And so in that written testimony released yesterday, Barr stated that it is in the best interest of everyone, the President, Congress, and the American people, that this matter be resolved by allowing the special counsel to complete his work. So if confirmed, what does Barr's position mean for the Mueller investigation?
It was very encouraging, and I think it protected him from a very contentious hearing. There'll still be issues, but you know, lawyers have been saying there's some flexible clauses in there. At one point he says, as long as there are things that are under my jurisdiction, and he's known to have a conception of presidential power that's very expansive. So it doesn't totally eliminate the possibility that either he might do something to stop it, or he might get out of the way if the president does. But it's a move in what many people think is the right direction.
We learned over the weekend that the FBI is investigating whether the president was working on behalf of the Russian government. So what is new and remarkable here?
Well, I think the very fact that the FBI would respond to that right after the firing of their director, Jim Comey, and the president has said they're dirty cops or scoundrels, and people just stop and think about that. You know, anybody in the FBI that suggests that to a supervisor knows what they're proposing, and it's, you know, it's a big deal. Their own job is at risk if it's believed they're doing it for the wrong reasons. So I think it really shows the severity of the reasons for doing it had built up over time. We also had the revelation this weekend that the president had seized the notes of the interpreter that was with him when he met with Vladimir Putin. And that's pretty amazing. I mean, why would a president do that? It clearly wasn't to check the grammatical correctness or the accuracy of the translation. There was something there that he didn't want anybody else to know, which is why he made the meeting one-on-one in the first place. And, you know, each piece of evidence here is not in itself a smoking gun, but there sure is a lot that's accumulating.
And so we knew that there was the investigation into the Trump campaign about Russian meddling, but this investigation seems to be getting narrower and narrower now as these new revelations come out.
Yeah, some of it actually goes further back. You know, there have been some stories that they're looking at the financial history. It was reported just as one fact from 2003 to 2017. Russians, mostly oligarchs, made 86 all-cash purchases worth over $100 million at Trump properties. It's a classic money laundering technique. And the two Trump sons, Donald and Eric, before the presidential campaign, had boasted that they were getting their funding from Russia, not out of American banks. So the sense is Mueller is going to have a context for this that, you know, gives sort of a continuity from the way he handled his business, Trump, to what he was doing during his campaign.
So the FBI here in its investigation looks at criminal and counterintelligence elements. What does the counterintelligence and the criminal elements, what do those labels mean?
Counterintelligence is really, it could be something that is below the bar of treason, but is a collusion with the Russians that's against the American national interest and what the president's obligations are. And so we've had all these moves to, you know, maybe even get out of NATO, to not do anything when the Russians fired on ships off the Ukraine coast. One thing after another. Apparently the president was also using his private cell phone to talk to Putin. I got to believe that the NSA has a way of picking that up. The criminal is more the obstruction of justice, the things that are within our domestic politics and law. So the two complement each other, but they have this distinction.
So is the FBI concerned about national security here related to President Trump's actions, as we know so much?
I think it's fair to say definitely yes. They're not the only ones. You know, many other parts of the American intelligence community, the FBI has a certain jurisdiction, the CIA has another, the National Security Agency has another. And I don't think it's an exaggeration, and it's not being partisan, to say that there's plenty of basis here for concern. What the actual evidence is, we learn a bit from media investigations. We'll learn a lot more from the House of Representatives now that the Democrats can actually call witnesses and the Republican chairs are not there to block. And we'll definitely learn a lot from Robert Mueller's investigation.
Talking with Bruce Gentleson, he's a political scientist at Duke University, looking at the latest developments in the Russia probe. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What have you been watching in this investigation, in Robert Mueller's investigation, and how have you seen it change, evolve over time? Are there developments that have really come to life for you? Questions you have about it, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Bruce, there's been some debate in the intelligence community about this particular inquiry. What are law enforcement leaders saying about the necessity of a probe into the president's actions in relation to Russia?
There's so many pieces of evidence here that it would be a disservice to our political system, the Durer Constitution, not to investigate. Most people genuinely believe, given Robert Mueller's track record, he's not a Democrat, he's not a partisan, he served the country throughout his career, including being a Marine, that he will not bring charges if there's not a basis for it. And I think what the Attorney General nominee said yesterday was acknowledging that if there was an effort to block Mueller's report, that the long-term damage to American politics, we've had so much damage already. You know, it's one thing to disagree with the president's policies, but the way that our institutions, to have no government functioning. I asked somebody the other day if they could think of another example of any country that had shut down its government, and nobody could think of an example. I mean, it's just crazy, and it undermines so much that will be problems well after Donald Trump is gone, whether that's soon or after 2024.
Well, the president has really responded to a lot on Twitter and provoked on Twitter as well in responding to this investigation. What is he saying about the turns in this investigation? What do we know from his Twitter account?
He calls people names. What was interesting was it was on Fox News that he got asked the direct question by his interviewer, have you been working for the Russians? And his response was not no. It was, that's an insulting question. Twitter is very helpful for the president because you put things out there, and you don't have to take a counter question from a reporter or anybody else. So it fits his modus operandi that, you know, he can just lash out all over the place, and he knows everybody pays attention to it. I'm sure he doesn't read the responses you get on Twitter. And he stirs the pot, and this whole name-calling and, you know, efforts, it may be running its course. People may be getting to the point. When he gave a speech on TV the other night about the wall, apparently one poll showed only 2% of the American public were convinced. So his political techniques may be losing their strength.
So Robert Mueller is tasked with answering the question of whether President Trump was working on Russia's behalf by the time his investigation concludes. When will Mueller arrive at a conclusion?
You know, we keep seeing reports that words are used like soon or imminent. And you and I and your listeners both know that those words don't have a precise nature. Mueller has done an amazing job, if you think about it, of having few, if any, leaks coming out. I mean, how do you do that in today's media age? So we really don't know. It's not going to go on forever. And I think it's really, my own sense is every time they think they're getting closure, they find another cause for concern. And some of it is Russia, some of it is obstruction of justice, Some of it is other issues. So it's really, really hard to say. Every time I hear somebody say, you know, an informed source told me it's going to be a matter of weeks, we go through those weeks and it keeps going. So credit to Mueller and his team for keeping the lid on things.
Well, Tim from Whitewater called in to say he says he's not a fan of President Trump, but he does think this seems to be pretty typical Washington infighting here. What is your response to Tim?
You know, I have to say, you know, I've had many presidents that I've disagreed with on policy, but I think the kind of issues that have been raised here go well beyond Washington politics. They are genuinely dangerous to the country and to the world. And I really think there's a difference here between do you agree or disagree with his, you know, ban on Muslims and others for travel? I don't agree with it, but I can see people having a debate about that. But this is questions about possible relationships with a country that's been our adversary for, you know, for many, many decades, firing officials, you know, obstruction of justice. Those are very different, and it's true that we've had so much, you know, gridlock going on in Washington, it's hard not to dismiss it. But I really hope people, you know, see how important these are to the future of the country that we want to have for our kids and grandkids.
Bruce, thank you so much for joining us.
Good to be with you, Kate.
Bruce Gentleson is a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University's Sanford School of Public Policy. Areas of expertise include U.S. politics, diplomacy, and international relations. He's the author of the book, The Peacemakers: Leadership Lessons from 20th Century Statesmanship. You're with us on The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.